as well as the presumptive nominee for 2024 presidential election, says Chris Walker, writer in an article published under the heading, Romney says Trump will be GOP nominee if he runs in 2024. Here's more. Speaking about the future of the Republican Party on Tuesday, February 23rd, Senator Mitt Romney said it's very likely that former President Donald Trump would win the nomination for president if he decided to run again in 2024. I don't know if he will run in 2024 or not, but if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination, Romney said in an interview with the New York Times. Romney also acknowledged that a lot can happen between now and 2024, but stuck to his prediction that Trump would be the nominee if he chose to run. He cited polling data for the reason he held to this belief, noting that Trump was far beyond where any other potential candidate was at in terms of preferences for the next presidential election. A look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide, Romney said. Polling does indeed show Trump ahead of the rest of the GOP pack of potential candidates. When Republican voters were asked who they preferred among a list of names, including Romney's, for the 2024 nomination, most of those surveyed showed a clear preference for the former president. Romney garnered 4% support in a recent Political Morning Consult poll from earlier this month, while fellow Senator Ted Cruz received about 3%. Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley garnered 6% and former Vice President Mike Pence received 12% of backing from those taking part in the poll. Trump outdid them all, receiving 54% support from Republican respondents to run for president in 2024. Some have suggested, however, that Trump should not set his eyes solely on the White House. Speaking to a group of Republicans earlier this month, Steve Bannon, who was briefly the chief strategist to Trump during the first year of his presidency, said Trump should also consider a congressional run between now and 2024. If Republicans won the House in 2022, Bannon said, and if Trump was among those who ran and won, he could convince the GOP caucus to let him become Speaker of the House as well, ousting current Speaker Nancy Pelosi from the position. Trump could then run for president 2 years later if he still wanted to do so. Trump is a disruptor. But he has a long-term vision because I absolutely believe in the marrow of my bones that he will be the nominee in 2024, Bannon explained. He will come back to us, so we will have a sweeping victory in 2022 and he will lead us in 2024. Bannon also attempted to feed into the big lie being perpetrated by Trump loyalists of Biden being an illegitimate winner in 2020 due to election fraud. A claim that has absolutely no basis in reality, they said. As a Speaker of the House, Trump could in theory try to rectify what supposedly happened to him, Bannon noted. The first act of President Trump as a Speaker of the House will be to impeach Joe Biden for his illegitimate activities of stealing the presidency, the former advisor said. Trump has been unusually quiet about his future plans, but sources close to the former president say that in his upcoming speech at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference in Florida, he will attempt to brand himself as both the current leader of the GOP as well as the presumptive nominee for 2024 presidential election. Some of those sources have also said Trump is planning to be a kingmaker in 2022 midterm elections, supporting candidates that are loyal to him while attempting to oust those in the party who weren't always on his side when he was in office. He will undoubtedly get a lot of support from Republican voters no matter what route he takes. But while polling data does show Trump has a strong chance to woo over Republicans in next presidential primary process, Americans overall are not happy with the idea, with 54% of voters from all political leanings saying they'd rather he remove himself from politics entirely versus remain in GOP politics, according to a recent CNBC All-America Economic Survey published in February.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Welcome to your own show, A Muslim Lady, from IRIB English Radio. It's an honor for me to be here and to share with you the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Although we try to convey their message, the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but I'm sure that our listeners also, they have studied these beautiful treatise of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which we discuss here. So it's a gently reminder for our listeners. And with me to share her knowledge is my wife, Razia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. As a wife, I'm here and we are going to discuss the rights of wife. So you can imagine that how happy I am that we are, as a student of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we are just entering in the Institute of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and we want to dig what kind of treasure Imam has left for us. And until now, I think we have done so many amazing points and messages from Imam, from this book of Risalatul Huquq,
the treatise of rights. So let's move on and continue the beautiful right of wife in the eyes of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, where Imam says that فَتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ نِعْمَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ فَتُكْرِمَهَا وَتُرْفِقَ بِهَا. We were talking about these beautiful two words, ikram and rifq. In our last episodes, we talked about ikram, about the honor, how you can honor your spouse, your wife or husband, your wife mostly, because we are talking about the rights of wife. So in today's episode, we will talk upon the turfiqa biha. You have to be very gentle. You have to treat her gently.
Wow. When you say gentle, I remember the saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Al-mar'atu rayhana laysat biqahramana. You know, like, treat her very gently, like a flower.
How we treat two flowers, you know, just we handle it with care and we take care of it very, very gently, you know.
Yeah.
Likewise, we have to be very gentle towards our wives.
Wives, yeah. So maybe in tukrimuha ikram, we are common. Like, we have to respect each other, definitely. But when it comes to rifq, you know, wife needs more rifq, politeness. Because men, they are manifesting the jalal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes
the
they are very power, yeah, you know, a bit. Sometimes, you know, it looks like aggressiveness. So, and wives, they are manifesting the jamal of Allah tabaraka
wa ta'ala. Beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
And beauty needs a lot of care, you know. The soft thing needs more care and more, you know, attention. That's why always, you know, wives and ladies, they need more attention, more care. Even we can say that rifq means rifaqa, means friendly and friendship. The closeness between a husband and wife, you know. So again, if you be polite and if you are very gentle with your wife, you will become very, very close friend.
Yeah.
And
so it doesn't mean
if that, you are close friends, then there is no barrier between you and your husband. You know, you can share each up and down of your life with each other, and you can face all the problems together, and all together you can make your life peaceful.
Yeah, so it means, like, you know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is giving this amazing, powerful statement that الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. You know, unfortunately, we are taking very wrong meaning of this ayah, that men are superior and they have this controlling power over women. That is not right. You know, we are translating it very negatively. It means that
does
both
not mean
have,
they have to be the dominant
exactly.
You know, in their family and their house.
Their relationship based on rifaqat, you know, friendshipness. And definitely the duties are different, but the main thing is to understand each other, to respect each other, and to be gentle to each other.
So for this, again, Imam saying that we have to change our mentality, our mind. You know, marriage, you know, unfortunately nowadays in our societies, marriage means the dominance of husband.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why whenever they talk about the rights of wife and husband, they give the priority to the rights of husband, you know. So they think that husband owns everything in their house. Husband owns wife. Everything belongs to their house. And his words and his sayings are the final words, final decision. And Islam totally condemns these things. Islam says the house and the family should be on the mutual basis. You know, you have to respect your wife. You have to give all your rights, all the rights which she deserves and which Islam has given to her. And in return, she will, you know, offer you the peace and tranquility which you are looking for. If you find this peace and tranquility in your life, then alhamdulillah, you will have a very, very fruitful and peaceful life.
One of the ways of expression of rifq and politeness is how to call each other, you know, the way we are naming each other.
Definitely you have to express, you know, rifaqa, rifq means you have to be gentle, and polite means you have to express your love, your, you know, feelings with your wife. You have to share and express. And Islam has emphasized upon these things, upon expressing, you know, your feelings with your wife.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that if your wife has any name, so you always just call upon her name. Look like Hadith Kisa, for example. Yeah, very famous hadith. So in that hadith, for example, Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, she knows that her husband's name is Ali or her son's name is Hassan, alayhi salam. But she's not saying, oh, Hassan. She's saying, oh, qurratu ayni wa samaratu fuadi, apple of my eye, you know, joy of my heart, oh, my cousin, oh, my, you know, like peace, a source of peace.
Yeah, even so, taking the name itself, Ali, is ibadah.
Definitely.
She could easily say and take
Ali.
His name, Ali. But out of respect and love, she would always say,
Ya Abna Am, or Ya Abul Hassan. You know, it shows that you're like, she's teaching us until the day of Qiyamah that this is the principle, you know, of life in your marital life. Yeah.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
So inshallah, we have to think how we are calling each other as a spouse, and not only name, something should be there, whatever you feel comfortable.
But unfortunately, again, we can say that in our societies, not only they respect, not only they take their names, but sometimes they bully, you know, bully. They call each other by wrong names, by, you know, their faults, by their, you know, whatever.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
It's difficult to understand that those kind of people exist in this world, but that is the reality, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. So Islam encourages not only to take your husband's name, wife's name, but call them with beautiful nicknames, you know, which shows that you are expressing your love.
I would love to share this hadith. Amazing, amazing, amazing. That إذا أراد الله بأهل بيت خيرا رزقهم الرفق في المعيشة وحسن الخلق. So look at the translation. When Allah desires to show His goodness, you know, when Allah wants to treat very nicely to His servant, so what He will do, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ, especially to a family member.
Household.
Yeah, household. So for household, a special, special, special gift of Allah, when Allah is desiring to show His love, His special attention to that household is رَزَقَهُمُ الرِّفْقُ. Allah will give them as a rizq, as a sustenance, rifq, politeness, you know, and that love, that compassionate, that, you know, that beautiful bond, you know, their hearts are together, they respect each other, they love each other, they are so much gentle to each other, their akhlaq is amazing. Look at the hadith, mashallah. And we are so far away from this, unfortunately.
And Islam especially emphasizes upon, you know, expressing by husband, you know. Islam says husband should express his love and his, you know, closeness to his wife. By expressing, he can get a very special status in the eyes of his wife. That's why this very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that قول الرجل للمرأة إني أحبك لا يذهب من قلبها أبدا. That whenever a husband says to his wife that I love you, this never goes away from her heart.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yeah. Amazing. Like, you know, literally, Imam is teaching us how to say, you know, look at our soul father, Aimah alayhi salam, beautiful, mashallah.
They have given these golden, you know, statements to build a very, very peaceful environment. You know, usually if a husband loves, I know so many of my friends, they love their wives, but they do not express.
Why?
I don't know, because sometimes it goes to their society, their family, because they have
culture.
Been brought up, their culture, they do not express a lot, and sometimes they feel shy maybe expressing in their love towards their wives. But Islam says you have to express whatever feeling comes, positive feeling, you have to express to your wife. Definitely this will increase the love and the respect between the husband and wife.
And one more hadith which I truly love is that man aasha mudariya mata shahida. And if you have this great opportunity to live with compromisation, like you just compromise your spouse's mistakes, so the life with mudarat, with compromise, leads you towards that your death will count in the eyes of Allah as a martyrdom.
Wow.
You know, you can change your death to martyrdom by having a rifq and gentleness in your life.
Yeah. So always this time is bothering us and it runs very fast, unfortunately.
That is a part of life,
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long, make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long, make me strong.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us ponder today on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to the light. An Australian conservation group says it will build the world's first ever platypus refuge facility.
We're also going to build a platypus refuge, one of its kinds around the world. This refuge will be able to take up to 65 platypuses in a time of crisis. Right now there is so much to learn about the platypus, and we know so little. These facilities will be critical in building our knowledge so that we don't let this iconic creature slip off the earth.
Platypuses are among Australia's most unique and elusive animals. They're normally found across the country's eastern seaboard. The strange-looking creatures are the only remaining representatives of their family. They spend most of their lifetime underwater and alone. Australian authorities say the planned refuge facility can give them more information about the animal's preferred environment and breeding. Many habits of the platypuses have remained a mystery to researchers. Hungry for music, you can now order a concert instead of a pizza if you live in the German city of Frankfurt. Members of Frankfurt's Philharmonic Orchestra have decided to help music lovers now that concert halls are closed due to the pandemic. They offer short personal concerts at people's staircases for free. Instead, Frankfurt residents can donate money to the musicians, who say the main goal is to revive the creative industry.
We play miniature concerts in people's homes of about 10 minutes, and we deliver along a route in our neighborhood so that people can enjoy some live music. For us, it's just beautiful being able to play for people again. What's great and absurd about this concept at the same time is that we play in order to keep a distance, yet we are so much closer than in a conventional concert hall, and that makes it so wonderful for us.
Those who ordered the concerts have called their experience delightful. They say the music delivery service has filled the void of the closure of theatres and music halls. The personal concerts can be booked online, performers observe health protocols and social distancing too. A rare black rhino calf becomes an internet celebrity as a video of her first wobbly steps has gone viral. The cute baby was born last week at Adubo Zoo in New South Wales, Australia. The newborn, yet to be named, has three siblings. Her mother is 18 years old and her father passed away a few months ago. Zookeepers watched the calf and her mother through cameras in order to create a proper atmosphere for them to make bond. The species is critically endangered because of poaching and habitat loss. Sophisticated scanning technology is revealing new secrets about Littlefoot. That's a well-preserved fossil of an early human forerunner dating back to nearly 3.7 million years ago.
Now, the importance of it is not only that it is the only complete skull of an Australopithecus from anywhere, but it is the only one with a complete skeleton as well. Furthermore, it is the oldest Australopithecus in southern Africa, dating to 3.67 million years ago. So it tells us a lot about our early ancestry. Now, we're not saying that Littlefoot represents a direct ancestor to modern humans, but certainly a relative, certainly a very close relative of our ancestors.
The fossil was found in South Africa in the 1990s. It's now being studied at a particle accelerator facility in Oxfordshire, Britain. The facility allows scientists to produce X-ray images of the fossil with extreme detail. They say the result has been fascinating.
The bone microstructure look amazing because we can really see the different tissues, the proportions, the thickness, and also the size of the different canals. So all of this make, I think for me, make Littlefoot more like a living person.
So far, scientists have found that Littlefoot stood on her feet. They know she had gorilla-like features such as powerful hands, which enable her to climb trees. But she also had different traits compared to the human species believed to have first appeared 300,000 years ago. A Nigerian artist has become famous for his skills in creating art from coconut shells. Nathaniel Hodonu uses the shells to make stunning artworks in different forms, including portraits and sculptures, as well as home accessories. He collects shells from local oil factories, which throw them away as waste. He began his work in 2006 after his art teacher gave him two coconuts as a present. Hodonu now teaches art lovers creative ways to transform waste coconut shells into beautiful handicraft.
Tourism in Oman took a nosedive during the COVID-19 pandemic, sadly, much like many places in the world. But one village managed to turn its fortunes around by transforming some ancient homes into hotels and touristic attractions. Nestled in the high mountains of Oman, the village of Misfat al-Ibrahim offers some of the most beautiful and serene natural areas for trail running and rock climbing. Now the village has repurposed ancient mud brick homes into boutique hotels. The beige-coloured homes with walls of handmade mud brick are elegant and simple, and the interior spaces are furnished with traditional wood and textiles.
Misfat al-Ibrahim attracts many tourists, so people and project owners in the village have planned on expanding touristic projects. You'll find heritage hotels, popular cafes and restaurants. We as a company decided to provide various adventure-related activities too.
The centuries-old homes were renovated for safety and comfort to combine old Omani life with modern amenities. The village is near what is called Oman's Grand Canyon and has somewhere around 800 residents. Many tourists have visited the area because of the heritage hotels and environmental components in the ancient village. These inns have attracted many tourists to the area despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Almost everyone has seen snowmen, but how many people have encountered a snow snake in their lifetime? A family in the US has awed their neighborhood with a fascinating ice sculpture of a serpent. The household in Colorado spent 10 hours making the impressive artwork in their front yard. They first created the shape of the animal and then sprayed paint on it to bring it to life. The sculpture measures 23 meters in length. It has attracted many neighbors and passers-by who occasionally take pictures with it. This is not the first time the family made headlines with their ice work. In 2019, they caught people's eyes with an ice sculpture of a tiger. A giant ice disc with an even greater message here. People in Finland have carved a humongous carousel in Lake Lapajärvi to raise awareness about global warming. An inventor and a team of helpers spent days in sub-zero temperatures to create what they say is the world's largest ice carousel. The rotating machine is over 300 meters wide and is spun by motorboats. The makers also carved another smaller disc in the ice next to it. The two carousels were commissioned by local authorities who want to bring attention to climate change and shortening winters in Finland. An iceberg the size of Greater London breaks off in Antarctica years after the first cracks appeared. The iceberg detached from the Brunt Ice Shelf near a British research station and is expected to either move away or run aground not far from the ice shelf. Scientists were expecting the calving of the iceberg to happen after monitoring the area with GPS instruments and satellite imagery on a daily basis. They discovered the first cracks almost 10 years ago, but they are skeptical about the role of climate change in this case.
A unique remnant of bygone days. Archaeologists have found a rare ancient Roman ceremonial carriage outside Pompeii. The carriage was unearthed near the stables of a village just outside the very city. It has four wheels and is made of iron, bronze, and tin. The vehicle is the first of its kind discovered in the area. Italy's culture minister has called it a unique find without any precedent in the country. Pompeii was buried under ash in a volcanic eruption in 79 AD. So far, about two-thirds of the ancient city has been uncovered, I should say. The lights, merriment, and traditional food. That's what China's Lantern Festival has brought to millions of people across the country.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients.
Spring is coming, and blossoming flowers are once again creating stunning sceneries across China. Clouds of cherry blossoms have created breathtaking views in Wuhan, a city known for being the birthplace of COVID-19. Inside the city, the main university is one of the best places to enjoy those blossoms, being well known for that among the Chinese. Students are thrilled to enjoy the floral scenery after missing it last year.
As the pandemic has been well brought under control in China so far this year, residents in Wuhan City, as well as students, workers, and teachers of the university all come for the flowers and this warm spring.
In other cities, it is the plum flower that attracts a large number of visitors. They say the white-colored blossoms on mountains seem as if it had been snowing. Many of the tourists choose to stay in resorts that offer picturesque views of flowers. Many say they wait for a year so that they can draw a picture of the blossoms.
That's a wrap-up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس, أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of one of the chapters of the Holy Quran, chapter Yunus, verse 23.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلما أنجاهم إذا هم يبغون في الأرض بغير الحق يا أيها الناس إنما بغيكم على أنفسكم متاع الحياة الدنيا ثم إلينا مرجعكم فننبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
But when he saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without right. O mankind, your injustice is only against yourselves, being merely the enjoyment of worldly life. Then to us is your return, and we will inform you of what you used to do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran advises people to know that whatever oppression they commit and whatever sort of deviation they have made from the right path, they themselves will pay its price. The only thing that they may be able to do is to enjoy the life in this world for merely a few days, and finally, their eventual return will be towards Allah. It is at that time that they shall be informed of whatever they did in the world. Which is approved is that which one acquires in this earthly abode, this school, and this marketplace, where higher stations and lasting spiritual merits are exchanged for transitory goods, and where arrangements are made for the abiding abode. This cannot be possibly acquired without entering this world, as has been stated by Imam Ali alayhi salam in one of his sermons delivered on hearing a person abuse the world. Indeed, this world is the abode of truth for him who appreciates its truthfulness, a place of safety for him who understands it, a mine of treasures for him who collects provisions from it for the next world, and a house of instructions for him who draws lessons from it. It is the shrine of worship for those who love Allah, the house of prayer for His angels, the place where the revelations of Allah descend, and the marketplace for those devoted to Him, Allah. Herein they earn His mercy, and herein they acquire paradise by way of profit.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. So we find that while some people have decided to do whatever they might wish and followed the carnal desires in this world, such people will be the losers in the world hereafter. And this is a very important point in which on which we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated it in Nahj al-Balagha in Sermon 132, in which he indicated, to his audience, not only his, immediate audience, audiences, who were in front of him, but rather by extension, Imam Ali alayhi salam addressed all people that do whatever deserves your fate in the paradise. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created this world for you to live here forever. This is a transitory station. This is a station at which you stay just for a short period of time. You shouldn't get attached to this world. Because of this, we find that those people who prefer this world, who prefer this worldly life over the world hereafter, and regard this world as the abode of permanence here, sooner or later they find that it was just a great mistake. A mistake that can hardly be compensated. And those people who have referred to this world as just a place of, short stay, brief stay, and have given permanence, have given importance, and have given the attention to the world hereafter based on Islamic religious doctrines and values and teachings, they would find that the world hereafter is the world of permanence, and the rewards will be abundant in paradise. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
The world and the worldliness. The world that is condemned. That is the title of this part of today's special. Commonly, it is said that the attachment of the world is condemned and disapproved by Islam. This is both true and false. If what is implied is an emotional attachment, it cannot be true, because man in relation to the total system of creation has been created with a series of congenital emotional attachments and inclinations. All innate human tendencies and aptitudes have a purpose which is wise and sagacious. Consequently, it should be said that the Islamic world outlook, even as it does not permit us to denounce and reject the world, it also does not allow us to regard the natural attachments and the channel of communication as useless and breakable, because such sentiments and tendencies are a part of the general pattern of creation.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
How to control Allah for this dunya. Dear brothers and sisters, when we start chastening the dunya for the dunya's sake instead of using it as a means to our real goal, pleasing Allah, that is when our priorities are mixed up and we start to suffer from a serious spiritual disease. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, once stood before the companions and said, "It is not poverty that I fear for you, but what I fear for you is that the world, the dunya, will be presented for you just as it was presented for those before you. Then you will compete for it, and it will destroy you just as it destroyed them." As a physical disease destroys the body, a spiritual disease destroys the soul. When we put the love of dunya before the love of Allah, diseases like greed, arrogance, ingratitude, jealousy, vanity, all start to take over our heart and destroy our lives.
The attachment sometimes becomes extremely severe. And if you really want to know how a person is attached to these items, keep that item away from this person a few minutes. Don't try this. There's going to be a fight at home. But you get the idea. Keep it away from this person. Tell this person, let's go into a room, put the phone outside for 2 hours, for 30 minutes. You see this person, he's sitting on the couch, he's getting edgy, he can't concentrate, you can't talk to him anymore. His mind is in his phone. That is a sign that the attachment has become too severe. You need to do something about it. Normal levels of attachment are okay. You can be functional. But sometimes excessive attachment makes you a dysfunctional human being. This is our lifelong struggle, my dear brothers and sisters. Being attached to this world, to material objects, comes with consequences for us in our lives. Many consequences, my dear brothers and sisters. One consequence of being attached to material objects is that it impacts your self-worth. Allah has told you that I have created you with honor and dignity. When you become attached to these objects become an extension of yourself. That means you're equating yourself with an object. Is that the self-worth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and has wanted for you, my dear brothers and sisters?
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further.
dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.